We're starting a class in Halacha, and I think this time we'll formulate our class along different lines than we usually do. This time we'll try to have a class without a book. We'll talk about Jewish life. In Jewish life, we adhere to the Halacha, which is the bottom line of how a person is supposed to lead their life. There are areas in Halacha which are biblical, rabbinic, customs, and then areas in between. There are areas which are not governed by Halacha, but are governed by common sense. There are areas of Halacha that are governed by decency. And some of those areas of decency depend on the culture and depend on the location you live in. And whenever we learn Halacha, we have to ask ourselves, are we learning something that's biblical, rabbinic, custom, area of decency, area of courtesy? We always have to know what we're discussing, and there are going to be differences between how you apply a halacha, how stringent you have to be in an area of halacha. Ordinarily, people assume that the more God-fearing a person is, the more stringent he is in halacha. There is some truth to that. The more God-fearing a person is, the more careful he is in his adherence of halacha. At the same time, here in Machon Meir, where we're all in a building process, and people are coming from lives where they weren't observing any Torah or mitzvos, we will focus in our halacha on keeping the minimum. And that's why our halacha classes are not geared for the general public. They're geared specifically for geirim and chozrim b'tshuva, because when a person is growing, so then keeping the minimum is hard enough. And a person could be very, very, very God-fearing, and the correct direction that he should espouse in halacha is to keep the basic halacha, not to look for new stringencies, because the halacha itself is difficult enough for newcomers. And this is something which is said clearly in Shulchan Aruch. People are unaware of it. Sometimes they think they're doing you a favor by telling you some kind of stringency. And the truth is, it's not a favor. And my recommendation is always consult with your local Orthodox rabbi before adopting any new stringency. It's more important to stick to the halacha and to recognize that there are 613 biblical mitzvos, and it's hard enough to keep them. And then there are a number of rabbinic mitzvos, and it's hard enough to keep them. We try to keep things at... give it out to the guys. It's okay, fine. Shkach. Yeah, you give it, take and give it to the guys. With that introduction, let's begin. How many mitzvos do we perform a day? Let's think for a minute. So very often when we talk about halacha, people think about eating kosher. People think about a kosher kitchen. We should know that halacha also governs our behavior to our fellow men. There's a biblical mitzvah not to say something that will hurt someone else. It's a biblical mitzvah. The Torah says, Lo tonu ish et amito. Do not afflict your fellow man. And the Torah says it twice. One time is to teach us that we're not allowed to do unfair business. We have to be fair in our business practices. And the other time is to teach us, Lo tonu ish et amito. You're not allowed to say any word or do anything that would hurt your fellow man. Obviously, I'm allowed to defend myself. If someone's starting up with a person, he's allowed to defend himself. And even if it means punching the other guy in the nose or doing whatever he has to do to protect himself. It's a common sense halacha. If someone's coming to kill you, kill him first. You don't sit around and let someone beat you up. And it's his problem that he started. But at the end of the day, we have to know that all things being equal, there is a biblical prohibition against causing a fellow Jew any type of pain. And that's why it's important that we take time to learn about the midot, to learn about the biblical prohibition of lashon hara. We're not allowed to say something that might indirectly cause harm to someone else, something that someone wouldn't appreciate that we said about them. Sometimes it's necessary to say things. Sometimes you know that this guy, he's got sticky fingers. Every room he's in, suddenly there's theft. So if the guy moves into your friend's room, you have to give a word of warning. And then we have halachos, which discuss how you should word that warning. Are you certain that he's a thief? Or do you have good reason to suspect that he's a thief? How do you word it? When do you word it? Where do you word it? The halacha insists that we be meticulous about the care we give to how we phrase things, when we say things. And there's a balance here. So I wanted us to begin our study of halacha with a recognition that halacha is not only about those mitzvos which are between me and God. We have to remember that there is halacha that defines for us the more basic things of living every day. And the halacha has guidelines about what's called being an honest worker. You're being hired for a certain amount of time. How much effort are you supposed to put in that time? How are you supposed to utilize that time? Are you allowed to take your friend's pen and just write with it? Maybe he doesn't let you write with it. Are you allowed to use a shaver without permission? Maybe he doesn't want you to use a shaver. There are halachos about that. And when we study halacha, we have to know that halacha encompasses not only the mitzvos like eating kosher, the mitzvos ben adam lamakom, that are between me and God. The halacha also covers the mitzvos ben adam lachavero. We have specific mitzvot, like honoring our parents. We have specific mitzvot, like not stealing. We have specific mitzvot, like you're not allowed to hit your fellow man, you're not allowed to cause him pain, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara, as we discussed. You have to pay a worker wages on time. There's a biblical mitzvah. A guy worked for you today. You have to pay him today. You can't pay him tomorrow. You have to pay today. He expects to be paid. That's what he's living off of. And there are also halachot, as we know, that pertain to the mitzvot ben adam namakom, between us and Hashem. We will begin with basics, and Be'ezrat Hashem will develop as the year goes on. What are the basic mitzvot? So we know there are 613 biblical mitzvot, but we also know that there are mitzvot that define Jewish life. One of those is eating kosher. So here in Israel, things are relatively easy. You go to a store, you want to buy food, so you can look at the label and see if it's kosher. There are different hechsherim, there are different organizations that validate that something is in fact kosher. So long as it's an orthodox hechsher, our position here in Machon Meir for our students is that you should eat every orthodox hechsher. It's difficult enough to get used to eating kosher. You don't have to worry about stringencies. It's not enough that something's kosher. Some things require more than that. For example, if you go to the store and you're going to buy liver, so liver has to be broiled. It has to be roasted. Sometimes here in Israel, they'll sell you kosher liver that was not yet roasted. So yes, the liver is kosher. It's from a kosher animal. And the animal was slaughtered in accordance with halacha. So kosher animal, slaughtered in a kosher manner. So the meat is kosher, right? Wrong. After you slaughter the meat, you have to salt the meat to take out the blood. When it comes to the liver, salting it is not enough. The liver is filled with blood, and there's no way to get the blood out through salting. You have to roast it. So when you go to the store and you're going to buy liver, you have to ensure that the liver says tsalui, that it was roasted. Sometimes it will say lo tsalui, not yet roasted. And then you can only buy it if you know the halachos of how to roast liver. And after you buy it, you're going to have to roast it. So When we talk about buying kosher, generally in most other areas, it says kosher, it's kosher. Certain fruits or vegetables have an issue of infestation, that there are bugs that infest those fruits and vegetables. Consult with your local Orthodox rabbi. The one that you really need to know about is lettuce. Lettuce, if it's not pre-checked, you have an issue with it. Some of the pre-checked lettuce, what's called bodek or gush katif, you have to know which hechsher it has, and sometimes there are instructions. After you buy it, you should still wash it off, you should still soak it, different instructions as to what you do with it. Let's say you bought kosher meat and you bought kosher milk, and now you want to make yourself a sandwich, a cheese sandwich. So we know that meat and milk, we're not allowed to eat together. After we eat meat, so generally most people wait 6 hours. I know we have someone from Holland here, so they have the custom to wait 1 hour. There are Jews from Germany have the custom to wait 3 hours. When it comes to waiting 6 hours, there are different opinions in halacha. Some say that you have to wait a full 6 hours. Some say you have to wait five plus some. The basic halacha is you have to wait 1 hour between meat and milk. That's rabbinic. And everything above that is the custom. So it's a very strong custom. You ate meat, you're not supposed to drink milk within 6 hours. You can't eat something dairy within 6 hours. But let's say a person has heartburn, or let's say a woman is pregnant, or let's say there's a circumstance where, for whatever reason, the person has a need to eat milchik. It's not that it's life-threatening, it's not that he's sick, but he does have a need, so then he should consult with his local Orthodox rabbi, being that the weight of waiting 6 hours between meat and milk is a lower weight minhag. It's not a rabbinic institution, it is a minhag. So there will be instances where we can be lenient because of a person's specific need. Every person has to consult, depending on the circumstance, like a nursing mother sometimes has to drink more milk. So we'll be more lenient. Sometimes we'll tell her to only wait 1 hour. There are different circumstances where we will be more lenient. Every person should just realize that this halacha has room for leniency. When necessary, consult with your local Orthodox rabbi. You will notice that in many halachos, we will end off by saying consult with your local Orthodox rabbi, and that is because the halacha has to take into account every individual circumstance. And until we learn the halacha from the beginning, from the Talmud all the way through the Shulchan Aruch, we're not going to be able to cover all the nuances of knowing how to apply the halacha to every individual circumstance. And that's why we're going to have to end up with giving you the range of understanding that there is room to discuss different leniencies or stringencies, and each person has to consult with his local Orthodox rabbi. So, to summarize what we saw today, we discussed that the halacha not only encompasses the mitzvahs between man and God, but also man and his fellow man. We discussed some of the mitzvahs between man and his fellow man, such as lashon hara, not saying anything that would be hurtful, not stealing something, not using something that doesn't belong to me without permission. We discussed the importance of being careful what we say about someone, what we say to someone. We discussed the importance of paying wages on time. So we discussed a slew of mitzvos ben adam lechaveru. We discussed honoring one's parents. Then we went on to discussing mitzvot between man and his creator. And we began by discussing laws of kashrus. So we discussed that here in Israel, Orthodox hechsherim are okay. We said that liver, you have to be careful and make sure that the liver was roasted. And we discussed that meat and milk obviously have to be separate, and we wait 6 hours. Most people wait 6 hours between meat and milk. We said there are different customs as to how you apply those 6 hours. Does it have to be just five plus something, or do you need a full 6 hours? And we said that the first hour is rabbinic, and the next 5 hours are a custom. And so when necessary, one should consult with his local Orthodox rabbi to see if there's room to be lenient and how much. Yes, Yohanan. So if you know who it is, there are different halachos. It depends on the item. Meaning, some things we say, a person likes that people do mitzvahs with his item. He gets a mitzvah for free. Some things a person says, well, if he does a mitzvah with my item, he might ruin it. I don't want him to touch my item. So it really depends a little bit on what we're talking about. If a person has a pen, so the assumption is you can't use his pen without permission. If you did use his pen, so we assume that a Jew is willing to forgo less than a shavet pruta, something that's worth less than a nickel. We assume people are mochel, they forgo it. I always say people here have to be extra careful because we have people here who have not yet finished their conversion process. And over there, the halacha does not assume that they forgo less than a nickel. Once a person is Jewish, we assume between Jews, one another, okay, I'll forgo it. But I always say that everyone here has to be extra careful because the people who have not yet finished their conversion process, well, if you took less than a nickel from them, there's no such assumption that they forwent it if you used their pen without permission. And the flip side is also true. Noahides are also held accountable for a thievery of even a minuscule amount, even a small amount. So it goes in both directions. A person can offer to pay, and usually the other party will forgo it. I think it is fair and honest that a person should say, you know, I used your pen without permission or whatever it was. I'm sorry, I was unaware I shouldn't do this, and now I'll be happy to pay for the use. Most people will say, well, forget it. It's okay, no problem. Sometimes you're in someone's home, and it's understood that they're willing to let you use the sink to wash your hands after you go to the bathroom, right? It's understood they're willing to let you flush the toilet. It's understood sometimes that they let you use the phone. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. When in doubt, it's always good to ask. But there are certain relationships where certain things are understood. And if you're going to ask about everything, you're going to get on their nerves. The problem is that people very often assume beyond what they should assume. And therefore, we're dealing with a biblical prohibition of thievery. A person should, out of decency, should always assume not, and And with time, sometimes they'll say, you know, you don't have to ask. When I have guests in my house, very often we give away our apartment. When we're going away for Shabbos, we let someone else stay in the apartment. So I'd leave a note. Turn on whatever heater you want. Turn on the dud if you want hot water. Turn on whatever lights you want. Use whatever fans you want. Use whatever soap you want. Feel at home. So I come home once, and I see that they felt very much at home. They went to the back pantry, and they opened up a whole bunch of bottles and who knows what else. I didn't mean that far, right? I once had a guest who I put up at a neighbor's apartment. And I came Shabbos morning. I wanted to bring him grape juice to make kiddush. She says, no problem. I took from the host. I didn't think that was right. The guy gave him the apartment to sleep in. If the guy didn't tell me he could go into his fridge and take a cup of grape juice, so by what right does he take a cup of grape juice? I don't think that's right. If someone lends you the apartment to sleep in and they don't overtly tell you you could take certain things, I don't think it's right to go into their fridge and take a cup of grape juice. I understand it's his mitzvah, it's his kiddush, it's everything, but I was going to bring him the grape juice, so I should have come a little earlier. Fine. I think people over-assume this. And remember, if a person erred in his assumption, then he has transgressed, he has stolen something. Generally, you have to gauge the relationship. At the end of the day, sometimes, you know, if you're going to keep asking, you're going to get on their nerves. I think when in doubt, better err on the side of caution. Any other questions? Okay.